Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Are you guys ready to get into God's Word today? You guys ready to hear from God? My prayers for you is that you don't hear what Pastor Joe has to say. You hear what the Spirit of God has to say. So I believe God wants to speak to your heart and to your life. If you feel comfortable, you can remove your mask during the sermon part only. And once I'm done with the sermon, please put it back on before you exit. But thank you so much for being here. It's good to be here. It's good to be here on a Sunday. I love Sundays. I don't know about you. But Sundays are always my favorite days of the week because we gather together both in person and online and we get to hear what God is saying. And this is what I truly believe what God is saying to us is that God has more in store for us. And there are things that we have yet to possess. There are promises that God has spoken over our lives that we have yet to even realize, that we have yet to walk into. The scriptures tell us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And I know when we go through the challenges that we go through, when we go through the trials that we go through, it's easy to lose sight on the promises of God. It's easy to lose sight on the goodness of God. It's easy to lose sight that God is still moving, that God is still working, that God has more in store. And it's hard to see beyond our present circumstances that the best is yet to come, but that's not just a cute slogan. I truly believe that that is the mantra of heaven, that God is always telling us the best is yet to come. He saves the best wine for the end. He does his best and greatest work at the end. Even in Revelation chapter 21, I think it is, the next to the last chapter of Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." And God is always doing something new. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is doing something new in you? Do you believe God is doing something new in our church? Do you believe God is doing something new in our lives? And this is the thing. What keeps us from possessing the promise, what keeps people from possessing the promise are problems, challenges, uncertainties. When we face those things, we have to realize that problems, challenges, uncertainties are the tools that God uses to refine us and to prepare us to walk in to what he's promised us. I can't say that again, but I hope you're listening because that was a good one. That was good. But problems are the tools that God uses. Before God blesses us externally, he wants to do a work in us internally. We cannot lose sight that in the seasons that we're in right now, and the challenges that we face, we cannot lose sight that there is a purpose for our problem. There's a purpose for your pain. There's a reason why we're going through what we're going through. God is refining us. God is working deep in us. I don't know about you, but I'm a different person today than I was on March 1st. I have a greater level of trust in God. I have a greater level of faith in God. And actually, in the desert and in the wilderness, God has been doing something new in my soul. He's been doing something new in this church. He's doing something new in our hearts. He's doing something new in our lives. And right before God does something new, guess what he does? He strips us of the old. You see, he strips us of the old. He reorders our priorities to make room for the new. Anything that God wants to make more fruitful, he prunes back. How many know pruning is painful? Pruning is uncomfortable. When God begins to prune things out of our lives, it's painful, it's uncomfortable. But in order to be more fruitful, in order for God and or new fruit to be, to, I don't know, or fruit born? What do you call it? Fruit are produced. In order for new fruit to be produced, sometimes we have to be pruned. Or like we said last week, sometimes we have to experience circumcision. Or maybe that was 2 weeks ago. Not physical circumcision. Can I get an amen on that one, right? But spiritual circumcision, in which God circumcises our hearts and our lives and begins to cut things out that need to get cut out. The reason why we experience this stripping and this cutting and this refining is because God is creating more space in our lives to do something greater, to do something new, because He has more in store for us. He has greater things ahead. And just because we're in a pandemic does not mean that God is on pause. How many know that? God is not isolated. He's not quarantined himself. On the contrary, he's been busy working, providing, guiding, protecting, leading. He's transforming us and preparing us for what he has. But this is the thing. Not everyone will walk into the promise. Not everyone will possess what God has promised. Why? It takes faith. Sometimes God gives us things because he wants to, but there are other things that he waits for us to demonstrate faith. Faith. Not everyone will possess the promise, but those who have faith will be able to possess what God has promised. And I'm not talking about like little faith. I'm talking about audacious faith. I'm talking about faith that moves mountains. I'm talking about a faith that believes God for the impossible. Are you facing an impossibility today? Are you facing difficulties? Are you facing an impossible challenge? Are you facing extraordinary circumstances that seem impossible for you to overcome? Maybe I think about this often. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe some of you are struggling with a sin or habit that you just can't seem to break. You just can't seem to be delivered from, and you're in that impossible situation. Maybe you're in a possible relationship situation. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's finances. I mean, I try to be general, but I want you to think about whatever impossibility is staring at you in the face. I want you to think about whatever strongholds you're facing, or walls you're facing, or issues that you have been unable to overcome. And I believe that how we respond to those impossibilities will either propel us towards our God-given destiny or derail us from experiencing God's promise in our lives. How we respond to the impossibilities of our lives will either propel us or derail us, because the truth is, not many of us demonstrate an audacious faith on a regular basis. I mean, if you're anything like me, my faith is that when I pull up to the Dunkin' Donut line, it's short. How about you? Like, Lord Jesus, I know you know I'm your child. You know, I'm your beloved son. Please, Lord, I'm late for a meeting, staff meeting starting at 10. It's 9:55. I got to get my Dunkin'. Lord, please let the line be short. That's about the extent of my mountain-moving faith. How about you? I mean, what kind of faith are you demonstrating on a regular basis? And sometimes our faith is, Lord, be with me today. Really? I didn't know you needed faith for God to be with you. I thought he was always with you. I thought he would never leave you. I thought he will never forsake you. But for some of us, we think that God is far from us, so we need a little bit of faith for him and hope that he is with us. Lord, be with me. Watch over me today. Really? God, help me get through this job. Help me make it to Friday. How many have prayed that before? Lord, help me to make it to Friday. And for most of us, our prayers of faith aren't prayers of faith anymore, but hopes and good wishes. But God wants us to transition from having a cautious type faith to an audacious faith. And God's been challenging me. He says, he's been speaking to me, and he's asking me, where has your faith gone? See, back in the day, I had faith to move mountains. I had faith to do great things. Even when we came to this church, I had faith that God will build a church that would reach people far from God. But over the years and over difficulties and challenges, I think I lost a little bit of my faith. And that's what happens sometimes when we go through tough times. When we go through tough times, sometimes we lose our faith, right? When we've been hurt, when we've been talked about, when we've been wounded, disappointed. And some of us have post-traumatic faith disorder. We're afraid to believe because of the letdowns. We're afraid to believe because of the pain. We're afraid to believe because we don't want to be disappointed again. But don't let the failures of your past keep you from believing of the promises of tomorrow. Because God's promises in Jesus are yes and amen. He is faithful. He stays true to his promises. But sometimes, just sometimes, he wants us to believe in his promises. And God is always putting us in position to take steps of faith. And I often want God to provide first before I give, right? I often want God to do something first before I respond, but that's not how it works. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. So if you don't have faith to please God, then what do you think God is doing in your life? He's working on your faith so that you can please God. See, you don't necessarily please God with your actions or your words, but you please God with your faith, which results in actions and words. You following what I'm saying here this morning? God is working on your faith. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, there are times in which God waits to act. And he's waiting for us to act in faith. And I'm not talking about baby faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm talking about audacious faith, a faith that transforms hearts, a faith that moves mountains, a faith that's audacious. Audacity is not a term that most of us would use to describe our faith. It's one thing to have audacious faith. It's another thing to have cautious faith. And when I look at my life, what I see more is cautious faith than audacious faith. This is sort of what I think sometimes. Yes, I trust God, but the numbers don't add up. Yes, I trust God, but it doesn't seem like the right time. Yes, I trust God, but I got to see these things happen first before I place my confidence in God. Yes, I trust God, but I just need to be a little cautious. Yes, I trust God, but I'm just not quite sure. You see, that's cautious faith. But audacious faith says this: yes, I trust God, even if the numbers don't add up. Yes, I trust God, even if I don't feel it's the right time. Yes, I trust God, even if I don't see anything happening. I trust God. God in this season wants us to choose faith over fear. He wants us to trust him and no matter what we're experiencing in our lives. And he wants us to go a little further and demonstrate some audacious faith, believing God for the impossible. So that's what audacious faith is. It's a faith that believes God for the impossible. And we see this in the life of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 10. We're in a series called Joshua. We're in week 5, and we're not stopping. We're going to continue in this story of Joshua, and we're going to be looking at Joshua in Joshua chapter 10. And there's a story in Joshua 10 that's going to wreck your mind. You guys with me? You guys with me online? I don't hear you. Come on now. Put it in the chat. I'm with you, Pastor. Come on, give me some encouragement here today, because we are going to dive into Joshua chapter 10, and I truly believe that this chapter, this verse, has the potential to wreck your life, wreck your faith, and turn your future upside down. Here we go. Joshua 10, we read. Joshua now, he's en route to possess the promised land. He took another lap around Jericho. How many are taking another lap? Yes, you guys taking another lap? He took another lap around Jericho. The walls fell down. He took possession of that city. Now Joshua and his people are going throughout Canaan, possessing the promise. And as he's en route to possess the land, he hears that five opposing armies are planning to attack. So Joshua said, you know what? I'm not going to wait to be attacked. I'm going to strike first. So Joshua led his entire army towards the Amorites on an all-night march. And as he's marching all night, I'm sure Joshua faced some discouragement. I'm sure Joshua faced some uncertainty. After all, have you read Joshua 1, in which God spoke to him so many times and said, be strong in the Lord, be courageous, for I am with you. If Joshua was full of faith and courage, God wouldn't have had to remind him so many times, right? But God kept having to remind Joshua, I'm with you. Be courageous. Everywhere you place your foot, you will possess. And as he's en route to face the Amorites, I'm sure he's worried. There's five armies. We're one. There's a lot of people coming against us. And as he's en route, this is what God speaks to Joshua. In Joshua 10, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, again, don't be afraid. Why? Because Joshua's afraid. Joshua was full of fear. He was uncertain. And it's okay to be afraid as long as fear is not driving your car, right? As long as you don't give fear the keys to your car. It's okay to have fear, but in the midst of fear, you got to be reminded, as Joshua was in verse 8, the Lord said, don't be afraid because what? I have given them to you. Past tense. It's already been done. How many know the battle has already been won? How many know that Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished? How many know that the enemy's been defeated? Like, it's past tense. It's already happened. The enemy has already worked in your life. God has already worked in your life by destroying the work of the enemy. The enemy's power over your life has been broken. God has set you free from the curse of sin and death. It has already been done. However, there was something that God wanted Joshua to do. God wanted Joshua to participate in the breakthrough. God wanted Joshua to participate in the miracle. So this is what he says. I've already given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Okay? So at dawn, the Israelites unleash a surprise attack on the Amorites. Now, this is what Joshua's thinking. He's thinking in his mind, not one of them will be able to withstand you. Not one of them. God has given them into my hand. And as the battle's going throughout the day, okay, things are going great. Things are happening. Joshua's taking the land, but the sun begins to set and the battle is not complete. And as the sun is beginning to set, the enemy starts running from Joshua. And Joshua knew, and Joshua understood that in order to fully possess and conquer the land, the enemy had to be completely destroyed. He knew what God told him. He knew that not one of them would be able to withstand against him. He also knew that if they disperse, they will rally around together and attack them again. So Joshua has the audacity, okay, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, to pray this prayer. It's a short prayer, a small prayer. Maybe you've never seen it before. But in Joshua 10, 12, this is what he prays. You guys still with me, right? He prays this. Sun, stand still. What? Sun, stand still. The sun's beginning to set. The enemy is beginning to run. Joshua had a choice. Am I going to settle? Am I just going to pull back? Or am I going to ask God for the impossible? Am I going to ask God for the sun to sit still in the sky? I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua, I would have called it a day. I would have said, all right, I've done all that I could. I've exhausted every option. I've given it all I've got, but not Joshua, because Joshua had a word from the Lord. Joshua knew what God has spoken to his heart. And Joshua prays this audacious prayer, sun, stand still. As the sun's beginning to set, Joshua believes God for the impossible. And I wondered, and as I was writing this message, I wondered to myself, how many of you today are about to give up because you see the sun setting over your life? You see the sun setting over your finances. You see the sun setting over your future, over your business, over your marriage. You see the sun setting in different scenarios, the relationships in your life. Maybe you haven't spoken to a mom or a father, a mother, a parent, or a sibling, and you begin seeing the sun begin to set over your life in some area of your life. The sun might be setting over your finances. It might be setting over your job situation. It might be setting over your health. The sun might be setting over your children. Maybe some of you have had children that are just far from God, children that are addicted, loved ones that are addicted, and you're like, man, I'm losing hope. I'm losing faith. I'm losing trust that God can do this, because what I see doesn't line up with what I hear. What I see doesn't line up with what God said. God often brings us to these situations because he wants us to demonstrate sun stand still faith. God is still in the business of making the sun stand still over our lives. God is still in the miracle making business. He's a miracle worker. I love that song called Waymaker, because he's a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. He stays true to his promises. God still has the power to break strongholds. He still has the power to break addictions. He still has a power to set you free. He still has a power to deliver you. He has a power to restore your home, to restore your job, to restore your marriage, to restore your finance. He has the power to do it. But I wonder how many of us are believing God to do it. I wonder how many of us are demonstrating sun stand still faith in those difficult situations. So Joshua cries out to God, and he begins to pray. Now, he prayed publicly. He didn't pray quietly. If I would have prayed this prayer, I probably would have went to my prayer closet, got behind my prayer closet, closed the door, and say, sun, stand still. And then I would have looked outside to see if the sun actually stood still. And if it did, I would have came out and said, yes! That's exactly what I prayed. That's what I would have done if I had the audacity to pray that type of prayer. But that's not what Joshua did. Joshua stood in front of everyone and said, son, stand still. I mean, he didn't even get the prayer right. Think about this. Joshua prayed this publicly, and it's not the sun that revolves around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. Am I right? All you science people out there, did I get that right? He should have said, earth, stand still. But he says, son, stand still. And at that moment, verse 13, it says, the sun stood still and the moon stopped. In other words, homeboy made the earth stop in its place with his prayer. Are you kidding me? And you think there's no power in prayer? And you think that your situation is too hard for God? And you think that God can't move and God can't act and God can't intervene in your circumstances? This man prayed, sun, stand still. Boom. The earth stood still for this one man's prayer. It reminds me of what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you pray, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. What I hear God saying in my spirit, what I feel God is saying in my soul, is that he's ready to perform the impossibilities in your life, but he's waiting for you to pray with an audacious faith. He's waiting for you to pray, believing for the sun to stand still in your situation. He's waiting for us to pray that God can make the impossible possible. Scripture says, with God, all things are possible. I wonder how many of us believe that. That with God, all things are possible. James says, though, but when you ask, he says, ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is a wave of the sea blown, tossed by the wind. So he says, when you ask, when you go to God and ask, don't doubt, but believe. Have faith. Believe that God can do what you're asking him to do. Now, how did Joshua get this type of faith? How did Joshua have the guts to pray this type of prayer? Well, Joshua found himself in the wilderness for 40 years. And Moses told Joshua, matter of fact, Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land. And he says, I want you to look at the land and tell us if we can possess it. Only two spies came back with a good report. One was Joshua, the other was Caleb. Okay? Joshua came back and says, we can do it. God can do it. We can possess the land. They look like giants, but we can do it. And because of the majority who said they couldn't, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Follow me here. Joshua knew the promise of God, yet Joshua did not possess the promise until he first wandered for 40 years. That's why we find ourselves in the desert experiences, in the wilderness experiences, because sometimes God is working on our faith before we possess what God has promised. And if you find yourself in a wilderness, you find yourself in a desert, just know that God is strengthening your faith. He's testing your faith to see if you actually believe in the promise, even though you don't see what he's promised. There will always be a season in your life that God will speak a promise. You will not see it, but he wants you to believe it, as I am right now. God has spoken to me over this regarding the future of this church. God has spoken to me. I know without a doubt that our church is supposed to impact thousands of people. I know without a doubt that one day we'll build a church. I know that without a doubt that one day we'll have campuses. I know without a doubt that we are going to impact this community. But what happens when only 25% of your congregation shows up on a Sunday? What happens when what God has told you doesn't line up with what you see? Do you just shrink back and say, well, I guess this is how it is? This is the new normal. You can't fight normal. Church attendance was dropping before COVID. And every article I read is about the death of the church. Most churches aren't going to make it. Most Christians are checked out. In the past four, Barna did a survey. They said in the past 4 weeks, 50% of Christians didn't even go to church online. They didn't even watch church online. 50% of Christians, this is Bible Christians, don't even go to church online. Well, that's the new normal. And I'm here to tell you, no, it ain't. It ain't normal. Because this is what I see. This might be our present reality in the natural, but I can tell you what I see in the spiritual. I was just recently reminded of Noah. Noah, God told Noah to build an ark, because he was going to send the rain. And what God was telling me through that story was simply, just obey me because the rain is coming. Just continue to lead because the rain is coming. They may not see the rain. They may not hear the rain. They may not see it in the forecast. But I tell you, Noah, I'm sending the rain. And this is what God is saying to the church of Jesus Christ. And I speak prophetically to you and to everyone watching here today that the rain is coming. The rain of his spirit, the rain of his presence, the rain of his goodness. God is going to pour out his spirit in these days. But we have to pray audacious prayers. We've got to pray sun stand still prayers that say, God, you did it back then. How about you do it again today? Anybody with me today, right? How about you do it again today? As we close, you know, this is not just pray sun stand still over every situation over your life. You're not going to pray sun stand still over that vacation home you want. I mean, you could, if it's God's will. What is the key to praying sun stand still prayers. And this is what I want to get to, the nitty-gritty, this application as we wrap up here today. What is the key to seeing God work on your behalf? The key is discovering and finding God's will. Knowing God's will. You see, Joshua was able to pray this prayer, sun stand still, because he knew what God has already spoken to him. What has God spoken to you? What has God spoken to your life? You see, I can pray, sun stand still over Transformation Church, because I already know what God has spoken to me over Transformation Church. You hear what I'm saying? I can pray, sun stand still over TC. Sun stand still over the families of this church. Sun stand still, because I know what God has spoken. I can also pray, sun stand still over my vacation home in the Bahamas, 6 months out of the year. And how many know the sun won't stand still? It'll continue setting. How many know that? There's a difference between what you want and what God wants, what His will is and what your will is. And some of you have been praying, sun stand still, over things that are not His will. But once you know His will, and you say, Pastor, how do I know God's will? The Word of God declares His will, first of all. You know, it is God's will that your family come to know Jesus. Do you know it's God's will that your children walk in the favor and goodness of God? Do you know it's God's will that your business prosper? Do you know it's God's will for your life to prosper? Do you know it's God's will that you walk in His favor and His goodness and His blessing? See, I can pray, Lord, sun stand still over my boys. Sun stand still over my church. Sun stand still over my future. Sun stand still over my finances. Once you identify what His will is, then focus on the specific impossibility that is keeping you from fulfilling your purpose and His specific will. So what's the impossibility standing between you and what God has for you? What is God asking you to believe Him for? What is God asking you to trust Him for? See, God wants you to write your own sun stand still story. He wants you to write down a sun stand still story over your life where you dare to believe God for the impossible. I wonder how many are you going to trust Him with your future, your career, your calling, your home. You might think the sun is setting. It might be setting, but maybe God is waiting for you to say, sun, stand still. God, do the impossible in this impossible situation. Would you bow your head, everyone in the room?